We're now going to hear an interview recorded by Gail Allaby in which Keith Coates talks again to Glenys Webster.
We've previously talked to Glenys Webster about her childhood in Walsden. Today we're going to talk about a particular aspect of that childhood, her involvement with Methodism. Before talking about your particular involvement, was Methodism strong in this area?
It was really strong in the Valley. Somebody's written a book actually called The Valley of 100 Chapels, and they didn't even mention the ones in Todd. So that was Hebden Bridge and Mytham Royd and, yes, and the Hilltops. So yes, it was very, very strong.
Right, now which of the chapels did you go to?
Well, over the years I went to a lot of them. But we were the what we considered our chapel was actually called Trinity United Methodists, and it was known locally as Inchfield Bottom because it was at the bottom of Inchfield Road near Walsden Post Office.
It's not there now.
The building is there, yes, but it's been sold to somebody. It's not used as a chapel
anymore.
I know,
yes, I know which it was, yes.
Yeah.
So your family presumably were staunch Methodists?
Mother was. Dad tolerated it. He only went on special occasions to chapel, but Mum went every week and I went every week to Sunday school, which was in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. And again, I went to Sunday night service with my mum, which was at 6 o'clock.
The chapel presumably wasn't just a religious place, it performed a social function as well.
Absolutely. Yes, and very often all the social activities in the area were related to chapel. A lot of the tennis clubs in the local area, certainly the Halifax area, belonged to chapels. And initially they never played on Sundays because they were related to chapels. So Birchcliffe Chapel had one, they were Baptist. Because there used to be a Hebden Bridge and District League, but we won't digress into tennis. But yes, a lot of the chapels, they provided a social life for everybody to try and keep them away from the pubs, because of course Methodists were very anti-drink.
It was strictly teetotal, was it?
Yes, right. Yes. You weren't allowed to serve any alcohol, even if they had weddings in chapels, they weren't allowed to serve any alcohol there.
And what sort of events might be held in the...
Very often concerts, sales of work. There was a sale of work every year where people spent the year making things and then sold them, and it was always the first Saturday in December. So there was the sale of work in the afternoon with stalls set up, and that was down at our second chapel called Wesley by Walsden Station. So the chapel was used for the stalls. There was always a chocolate stall, because that's where the kids spent all their pocket money. And then there were various handicrafts and knitting and embroidery and all sorts of things initially. And then they sort of branched out and some people bought things to sell there. And then in the evening there will be a concert of some description. Sometimes concert parties came in, sometimes we had a magician or whatever, and there was a proper stage down at Wesley.
That's at the Wesley, not at
At Wesley, not at Inchfield Bottom, right. Yes. So sometimes we did the concerts ourselves and various people would sing or do a bit of a turn. So yes, and as kids we thought they were wonderful.
Were there particularly important, obviously Christmas, Easter, were there any other important days in the calendar for the...
Yeah, funnily enough, we're just in Lent at the moment, but we never really celebrated Lent or did anything for Lent. It was only once I started working at Hip Home and Lightcliffe that I got tangled up with Lent. And chapel... Hebden Bridge Methodists, actually, I'm telling a lie there. Hebden Bridge Methodists used to have Lenten lunches on a Sunday during Lent, so people paid a fiver or whatever they could afford, and they just had soup and a roll for their Sunday lunch. And that money obviously went to a good cause. Right. The other thing that was done, not at Inchfield Bottom, but the chapel where my mother came from, was the Whit Walk, which was very strong in Lancashire, but yes. not in Yorkshire.
Yeah, yes, I remember Whit Walks in yes. Lancashire, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you used to wear your new outfit that you'd had for the anniversary at the Whit Walk.
And did the Sunday schools, I know some used to organise outings, trips.
Yes, yes, every year there was a Sunday school outing. Sometimes they went as close as Hardcastle Crags, and one particular event that the both circuits in Tomberden and Walsden joined together, and we had a special train that went from Walsden via Tomberden to Southport, and the local Sunday schools filled the whole of the train. And we spent the day in Southport, which for us, I mean, I would have been 12, 13, something like that. It was really exciting. Because all the Sunday school kids who you knew from school as well. So my best friend from school was there from another Sunday school in Tomberden. So my best friend from that I'd gone to primary school with, who also went to Sunday school with me, we were all together and we... I've got a photograph of us somewhere wearing cowboy hats and having a wonderful time.
While you were talking there, you mentioned the circuit.
Yes.
Right. For those who aren't, what was it?
The circuit is a group of churches together, or chapels, that share a minister. And Methodists don't have a minister, like a church has a vicar, yeah. And he is just theirs. Methodism, they're banded together in circuits with one minister, and then members of the congregation usually become local preachers and they take the services. So you have the minister once every so many weeks, and the rest of the time you have local preachers.
Right. Were any of your family local preachers?
No.
No.
No. Mother could have been because she could talk well enough, but. Which is probably where I get it from, but no. in fact, when I was growing up, there were very few women local preachers. They were all men. Because generally, the hierarchy of the chapel was all male. As I grew up, we had female Sunday school teachers. And one of the ladies who was our Sunday school teacher when we were in the top class became a local preacher. Yeah.
When I was reading some of your notes, you mentioned something about the demonstration day.
Yes, that was the anniversary, which was the anniversary of the time when the church was, or the chapel was founded. And they were usually in May, June, when the weather was coming better. Hence, everybody had the new clothes for the summer. And the children, on those days, there were always three services, a morning service, where the children would perhaps do an odd hymn or song. In the afternoon at 2 o'clock, there was the demonstration service, where whoever was taking the service would not do very much. And the children did this demonstration service where they all stood up and said a bit. It was on a theme, and there was often a board at the front where your, whatever it might be, honesty, faith, whatever, was stuck up on the board, and at the end there was this board with all the things that people were trying to portray. And you had to learn your part, as they were called, so that you couldn't read it, you had to learn it.
Did Methodism have a big impact in your home?
Only insofar as we always had to go to whatever was on at chapel. So whatever there was on, we had to go to. And as I got older, I was invited to go to Norwood Youth Club, which was another chapel further down, still in our circuit. But because we tended, Walsden Post Office, their nearest chapel was Lane Bottom, which was up near the Lancashire border. And If chapels in your circuit were having a function, everybody from that circuit would go to that function. So we went to the concerts at Lane Bottom. We went to their anniversaries. There were no services at our chapel when it was another chapel's anniversary and things.
Later on, when you got married, did you get married in a Methodist chapel?
I did. I got married at Mankinall's Chapel.
Why at Mankinall's?
Because this is a very strange reason. Our chapel at Inchfield Bottom, when you entered the chapel, you went in behind the pulpit, so you were facing the congregation, and it was tiered seating, and I didn't want to go in and face everybody. So at Mankinall's, you went in at the back of the chapel, so the congregation had their back to you, and you walked then. It wasn't a central aisle, there were two side aisles, so you went then to the front. So I had my back to the congregation until we walked back down the aisle when we were married.
And Mankinall's, I mean, was that a well-used chapel?
It was. They were all well-used in those days. Yes. It eventually, and there's Lumbert's very close by.
Yes, yes.
Lumbert's lasted longer than Mankinall's, but that's because Mankinall's building got woodworm or something really drastic. So they closed it down and actually knocked the building down. The bit that's left was the original Sunday school for Mankinall's, because there is a house still there, but that was a Sunday school.
Right.
And there is also a graveyard at Mankinall's, which we didn't have at Inchfield Bottom because there wasn't enough land. In fact, there was no land.
Right, right. And you were family buried at Mankinall's?
Yes, my mum and dad are buried at Mankinall's.
Both? But,
yes.
Right.
Yes, where I probably will end up too at some stage.
We're talking about Methodism and your involvement, your family's involvement in Methodism in Todmorden, Walsden. But you had other relatives, not living in Todmorden, who were also staunch Methodists.
Yeah, I did. All my mum's family were very staunch Methodists. Her sister was probably more staunch than my mum. And her auntie, my mum was brought up by her auntie, both... Her sister and her auntie were called Sarah, which caused some confusion. So my mum's auntie was always referred to, not to her face, but when we were talking about her, as Thode Aunt.
Right, and where did they live?
They lived in Shulva, a village mentioned in the Doomsday Book that was near Uldham. And, well, it was a hamlet, really. It wasn't even a village. It just had a pub, a village green, about 20 houses, and I think from memory, 3 farms, all owned at one stage by my mum's family.
And you used to spend time there?
I did, because my mum always worked. School holidays, I was always shipped over to Auntie Sarah's, because they had a milk round and a few animals, so there was always somebody about. So I went over there.
And what sort of things did you do in Shulva? Because I do actually know, I know modern-day Shulva.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I thought it was really, really, even at a young age, really weird, because they didn't have any electricity. And although they had cold running water in the house, they didn't have any toilets, like we had flush toilets, albeit at the end of the street. Yes. They had, it was like a wooden shelf with a hole in and a big metal tub underneath. And you sat on the seat and did whatever you were doing. And that was emptied once a week by people who came round in a cart, and they were known as the lavatory boys. Yes. So they lifted these, and they were... sort of, well, from sitting down on a chair, they were that sort of height, metal tubs that had been used for a week by a whole family. So you can imagine what they were like. They were, I mean, it must have been an awful job.
Yeah. Now, I know there is in Oldham an area called Durka, which I know also is derived from Durkcart Road.
Oh, right.
Which is where those cans were taken and dumped.
Yeah. There was also a school at Durka because my older cousin, well, my girl cousin, she went to Durka School, which in those days was a secondary modern school. So she travelled daily by bus. Well, she walked up Shulver Lane to start with to get to Moorside and then travelled from Moorside on the bus to Durka.
Right. Now, in the 1960s, late 50s, 60s, Shulver was redeveloped as a huge council estate.
It was.
Did your family still own land there?
They had only one, at that time, they'd only one farm, and that had been bought by my auntie and uncle. So they moved from Shulver Lane and moved to a farm called The Hills, which was always referred to as Thills, which was on Shore Level, which was a cinder track that if you walked right to the end of it, you ended up down in Shore. Right. And that's where we learned to ride bikes and things, on Shore Level. So Auntie Sarah and Uncle Eric had the Hills farm, so they got compensation for that. And in fact, the whole of the village, hamlet, whatever you want to call it, banded together and paid for a barrister to fight the first compulsory purchase order against Oldham Council, which they won. The villagers won. But Oldham Council, not to be defeated, tried again, and they decided it wasn't worth... Well, they couldn't afford a lot of them to fight it again. So they all had to move out. And I think the only thing left standing from the village as I knew it was the pub, the Pullet, which was by the green.
Which is... Yeah. Well, I don't know, it's still called the Pullet, but it's still there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I occasionally drive down Shulver Lane just to check.
Did you enjoy your visits to Shulver?
Oh, I loved it, because I'm an only child. So at home, you know, I had to wait for other people to come and play out. Whereas there, I had my two cousins. My girl cousin Joyce was 8 years older than me, so she didn't play out with us. She was very grown up. But my cousin Eric, was 2 years old, well, still is 2 years older than me. And unfortunately, all the kids in the village were all boys. So I was tolerated when I was there. I played out with them. So I was all right playing marbles. They'd let me do that. But when it came to more robust games like cricket, they did occasionally let me have a bat. But they didn't like it because I could hit the ball further than they could. So when I was on the fielding team, I always ended up on the furthest boundary. And the other thing they let me do, they were mad on rugby. All the lads were mad on rugby league. Was, and there were some rugby posts up on the green, so they used to practice kicking goals, and I was the lucky person who was allowed to go and get the ball. To bring back so that they could have another kick. That was my job. But and they didn't play football, to be fair. But no, and they used to go off on bikes, and of course I didn't have a bike there, so I used to be abandoned then.
Was there a chapel at Shulver?
No, it was at Moorside.
Oh, yes.
Which was at the top of Shulver Lane.
Yep.
Well, not at the top. The church was at the top of Shulver Lane, and you had to walk further on up to the main road and turn right, and the chapel was just down there a little way.
So when you were there in the summer, you'd go there just as regularly?
Oh, absolutely. Well, more regularly, because they had a morning Sunday school as well as an afternoon Sunday school.
Oh.
So we had to walk up the lane, which was about a mile and a half.
Yeah.
Because there was no transport unless you got a lift with somebody who happened to be going up. So you walked up the lane, you got to Sunday school. It started off as a normal church chapel service. And then when the sermon was about to start, the Sunday school were allowed to go, and they went into Sunday school classes then. And then we went from there when the chapel service had finished.
Right. So you'd have happy memories of Shulver.
Oh, very happy. Yeah. Very happy.
It later became a bit of a disaster.
Absolutely. Yes, because apparently when they said they were going to build on it, my mum said that there were mines underneath, in places, and there were a lot of springs that mum didn't think there were any maps of them. So there was a lot of water coming up, plus the mines, and she said it would be a disaster. Added to which, it was really cold up there on Shoulder Edge, as they used to call it. My dad, who was from Walsden, always said it was two coats colder in Shoulder than it was than it was in Walsden.
Okay, Glenys, I think that is excellent, and we'll give another very enjoyable talk for us. Thank you.